I don't even know if you can close DMs on Instagram. Whether or not you can or cannot open or close them, we will have them open. No
matter
what.
Dylan Sprouse knows for a fact that you cannot close the DMs in Instagram, but he won't respond to any of mine.
Even on his second account, Camera Duels?
Listen, I'm not going to stoop to Cole Sprouse. It's Dylan Sprouse or nothing.
Okay. It looks like we've got differing opinions on this.
Party!
I have a question for you.
Let's hear it.
If I am finally at a stage in my life where I am asking or thinking the thought, now that I have good health insurance, I can finally start skateboarding. Does that mean that I am officially too old to start skateboarding?
Or are you definitely still too young to have health insurance, regardless of when you were born?
Oh, much to think about, much to think about.
I'm almost 26, so I would really appreciate you refraining from saying the HS words. S is not what insurance starts with.
That being said, any of our listeners who know how to skateboard, let me know. I will send you a video of me trying to ollie, and I need you to tell me what I'm doing wrong. Because I don't know.
You're just going to get a lot of responses that say, well, first of all, you're on a skateboard. You're going to want to stop that.
My fear was earlier this year, listeners of our old show will know that I broke my ankle terribly playing kickball. And all I could think about while I was in the hospital was, I am so thankful I have health insurance. And then for reasons I don't want to discuss, I lost that health insurance. But now I yet again have good health insurance.
Now you can finally stop playing kickball with a helmet.
And a lot of people are going to listen to this intro and ask, how did he get such good health insurance? Where did it come from? And then a lot of other people will say about my old health insurance, where did it go?
I appreciate what you're doing for me, Jackson.
Where did it come from?
But I
want to
talk. I know you want to transition. I know you want to transition.
Where did it come from? Welcome to the show.
I still want to talk about me, because when I was fewer than 365 days on this green earth, I had not made a full rotation on Sweet Gaia. I was 1 year old when the Swedes robbed America yet again, when the Billboard, not topping, but Billboard success, Cotton Eye Joe, from Swedish techno musicians Regnex, blew up in both Sweden and England and the United States. Any place that had a football field,
and
American or otherwise, loved Cotton Eye Joe by Regnex. Spelled with an X, by the way, in case you didn't already hate this. But in 1995, that's already seems like a long time ago. They weren't the first ones to come up with Cotton Eye Joe by even a long shot. By our best estimations, this song is actually about 150 years old. And seeing as how it is the titular song of this podcast, it would be hilarious and ironic to not get into the origins of that song first, here in episode zero of Cotton Eye Joe.
Exactly.
We have to do this. But thankfully, this isn't just some drudgery and some legal obligation. It is extremely interesting, and this song has been the topic of study for about 100 years now.
Which is usually not a good thing about a song we hear about today. The only two songs I know that are old are Cotton Eye Joe, which we're going to find out, spoiler alert, might not have such a great history, and the National Anthem, which should be immediately replaced.
Not everybody loves this tune, but no one can deny that it has had incredible longevity. More recently, it showed up in Swiss Army Man, that movie with Daniel Radcliffe, that weird indie movie that I think it went to like a full theater run. Haven't seen it, gotta admit, but I really want to. The filmmakers, Daniel Scheiner and Daniel Kwan, the two Dans, literally on record saying, what if the whole movie was scored by the worst song in the world? Them using Cotton Eye Joe in their film was like a challenge to themselves to see if they could make someone take a movie seriously with the worst song in the world.
And so we, as your noble hosts, have done something even more dangerous. And we have named our show after the worst song in the world. Was this a mistake?
I completely disagree with the Dans. And I think a lot of other people would too. I don't think any song sticks around for 150 years without having some kind of worthwhile something. There's a hook there. There's something that really connects with people. And I want to figure out what that is and talk to you about the history and the folklore of Cotton Eye Joe.
Cool.
There's a nice word that I learned from Mental Floss. It's a word that means pre-war, specifically the Civil War. I'm trying to find it so that I can give our word of the day. Where is that? It's a $5 word. I want it. I can't find it. I'm going to have to let it go. It's okay.
Where did it go?
No clue. There's plenty of old music that's still known today that we don't have years of research about. We just know who made it, who wrote it, and for what reason. The fact that we don't know exactly where this song came from is a clue towards its origin, because it is a product of the American South, and it is essentially folklore. It's a folk song, but in the purest sense, where the original song was never written down. It was probably created democratically and molded over years, passed around by literally just singing it, and the next person just sings the best rendition of it that they can remember. We know for a fact that this song predates the Civil War by a healthy margin, easily pre-Civil War. And anything that comes from the South and is pre-war and is also a folk song is going to be racially charged and, in the lens of today, problematic, at least lyrically.
Mm-hmm.
But even that is kind of hard to pin down. I'm looking at this article here from the Huffington Post. It says, Cotton Eye Joe, where'd he come from, where'd he go? I guess we're not that clever. Someone else thought to use that as the headline. The subhead here is, the catchy Texas dancehall anthem is a bit more racist than you might remember. Okay, first of all, that's not fair, and it's definitely a bit clickbaity. The song that everyone remembers is probably the Rednecks version, which by 1995 had been any sort of racial overtones or undertones have been completely erased by that point.
Over the past century
and a half, it has definitely been retooled.
I will say, other than the name Rednecks.
Yeah.
I will say those kinds of clickbaity headlines about stuff like the origins of this song are actually a lot more racist than you thought are the reason that it took us a lot of deliberation to decide whether or not we would actually name the show that song.
Yeah, absolutely. But most people only know those particular words, where'd you come from, where'd you go, where'd you come from, Cotton Eye Joe, and then maybe there's something in there about a fiddle, and some guy who picks up chicks and leaves like the Pied Piper, I don't know. Did you know any of the actual words to Cotton Eye Joe, other than the catchy melody?
I don't think I knew any words to the show, no, to the song.
That's why first thing I tried to do was Google lyrics, and that is what made me realize that official lyrics to this song do not and have never existed. Every single iteration of this song has dramatically different lyrics and even changes who or what Cotton Eye Joe is. Sometimes Cotton Eye Joe isn't even a person. We'll get to that. The earliest publication, the first known published version of this song, appeared in Alabama writer Louis Clark Fearnel's 1882 novel, Dee Dee Dumps and Tot. I'm guessing those are three children. I'll let your imagination decide how one of them got stuck with Dumps.
Too late to make that the name of our show. Absolutely just kidding, though. Of course.
So this book is a nostalgic look at the antebellum South. Antebellum is the $5 word I was looking for earlier. It just means pre-war, specifically the Civil War in this case, and that's usually how it's used, antebellum South. In that book, Louise draws heavily on her childhood experience at her father's plantation. So, of course, notably, Louise is a white woman. Mm-hmm. The novel gives credence to what experts now hold as fact. Cotton Eye Joe originated with black slaves well before the Civil War. So Purnell's version described the titular character as an ugly man, quote, his eyes was crossed and his nose was flat and his teeth was out, but what of dat?
Nice.
And you'll remember from an episode that will probably air later. This is a period of the United States where we just loved phonetic misspellings. So this person, this ugly guy who is called Cotton Eye Joe, swoops into town and steals the narrator's sweetheart. That's the wording from Mental Floss. And that's kind of that's the only consensus that all of the lyrics are able to reach, is that there's a guy named Cotton Eye Joe. He steals the singer's sweetheart. If it hadn't have been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd have been married long ago. So yeah, that's the basic plot. This Pied Piper charmer comes into town, steals a guy's girl, then goes off to some other, usually specifically named state. Okay, that's pretty cut and dry. Let's make it more confusing. 3 years earlier, the noted black cultural historian and longtime Fisk University chemistry professor, Thomas Taley, he shared a slightly different rendition in his book called Negro Folk Rhymes. So he was the son of former Mississippi slaves, and he came across a version where Cotton Eye Joe isn't even a person. It's the name of a dance.
Hmm.
In his version, the lyrics here, I'd have been dead some 7 years ago if I hadn't danced Cotton Eye Joe. The song ends by saying that Joe, the person who steals his girl, ends up being sold down to Guinea Gaul, which again implies that Cotton Eye Joe is a slave. Where this gets really problematic is when white people started playing this song, it seems to be more or less agreed that the narrator, the singer, is also a slave and is interested in this girl. This other guy comes along. She's way out of his league, but he plays fiddle really well, and she falls for him, and then they both leave together. And he's like, man, I wish I could play a fiddle well. I could have married that girl. When the really catchy tune caught on among the people who lived at the plantation owners, and it made its way to Texas dance halls, they needed a white person to be the main character. So very quickly, Cotton Eye Joe became a slave that stole the slave master's wife and ran off to another state. This being obviously the worst rendition of the song.
Super bad.
But it is not the origin of the song. It is just something that, from the culture of the South, appropriating this tune, which was created over time and passed along from person to person orally, you know, it was just sung, and the melody stuck and the name stuck. The lyrics were changed and made worse over time until you hit about the time where recordings of this song surface. The oldest recording that we have, that we know of, is the Dykes Magic City Trio. And they basically have a version of Cotton Eye Joe that's almost entirely fiddle. And the melody's not really recognizable. And you can kind of just hear a garbled voice saying, I'd have been married a long time ago if it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe. And that's the only words he uses. He actually blends in, the singer in this rendition also blends in words from other folk songs. But by this point, it was more about the catchy melody and just this mysterious stranger who rolls in the town, Cotton Eye Joe. And I've said the words cotton eyed so much that it's starting to not mean anything. So what does that even mean? I would theorize that this song has really caught on because the words Cotton Eye Joe are super memorable. But we're not even sure what that means. Cotton Eye is believed to be a reference to someone who is wasted on moonshine, because apparently when you drink bad moonshine, you can go blind. Or maybe he's suffering from another medical condition like cataracts, glaucoma, even syphilis. Mental Floss notes here that urban legend holds that Cotton Eye Joe is really about STDs in general, but there's really little evidence to support that theory. The potential worst interpretation of Cotton Eye Joe is speaking towards the contrast of someone's white eyes against dark skin. But again, that would have been added in later when white people ruined it for their dance halls.
Which arguably still happened. The ruining
and arguably
part.
Rednecks ruined it again, but they did at least put it back into the limelight.
Without the heavy qualms that we have against the original versions.
Exactly. And it's a lot to get into to decide whether or not them taking the tune, taking the memorable catchy name, taking all of its markability, and stripping it of any of its back, like they basically stripped it of any of the problematic history behind it and made a really sanitized top 40 radio hit version.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really educated enough or in the position to argue about whether or not that's good or bad, but I do really like the way that it's phrased in this article by Kenneth Partridge when he says that Cotton Eye Joe is an American folk tune, which is a democratic art form. Where Cotton Eye Joe goes now is completely up to the next person who feels like singing it. And so I see it as something that is important to be reclaimed as a positive thing, as it was originally intended to be, while still recognizing and appreciating the problematic history behind it.
I do think it's very important that we tell audiences and tell people what the song was about, even though most people, to my knowledge, are going to think of this song and not have any racial connections to it or prejudiced connections to it, because for the most part, this song comes to us as modern day American, and I think globally people, through musicians like the Rednecks, who, while their name is bad, they have taken this inherently not originally bad thing potentially, but racially charged thing and made it into something that we can use nowadays. That doesn't mean that we should be ignoring the important history that this song has. What we want to do is use this show kind of loosely as a vessel to say, hey, this song is bad. Here's why. Let's grow from it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I mean, other than for entertainment and just the fact that it's really interesting to find out where things that, like, where everyday objects originate from, because usually it's a lot more interesting than you would think. But it's also really important, especially now, for us to understand and appreciate where something came from and how it's being used. And you have to be able to appreciate the origin of something to understand how it's functioning in culture today.
And it's, I think it's every person in our world's duty to acknowledge what kind of thing or what kinds of history people have and things have and sayings have and objects have, because so much of that gives you a cultural context about how to use that and talk about that with the people around you to make sure you are not dredging up an awful history and an awful past about something that you may think is flippantly smaller and flippantly not, I mean, flippantly flippant, I guess, not a problem. Whereas there are so many things in so many cultures that I do not understand that I would love to understand.
And all this explanation, not to make us seem like we're the experts, if there's something that we get wrong, we want to be corrected about it for this episode and ongoing. Now, there's not going to be socio-political implications involved in the origin of a stapler, but anytime that we speak for another culture, we always want to be sober to the fact that we are not experts and we're just doing our best. We say all this so that everyone knows we're doing our best, but we're not perfect. And we want to be very open to correction if it needs to happen.
Please let us know how we were wrong. And if we were offensive, let us know so we can properly apologize, learn from that, educate from that, make sure we're not doing it again, and move forward.
At its best, we hope this podcast can be enlightening. I guess it would be fair to say that the Dans rescued Cotton Eye Joe from rednecks because they really did their damnedest to make their version of the song as beautiful as possible. It's got a real Of Monsters and Men kind of sound going on. They very clearly were trying to elevate the tune from the 1995 rendition where the Swedish pop group, which is, quote from Sarah Boblitz here, a hilariously awful slice of pop music history. It made a global name for itself by fetishizing the American South. Each member going by a different stage name, including Mary Jo, Ken Tacky, Billy Ray, Bobby Sue, and Mup. In a bizarre 1995 MTV interview, one member claims that the group brought a big sack of goat shit to put on their clothes. So, culturally sensitive, I'm not sure. In bad taste, yes. Will that stop me from dancing at a college football game when that comes on in the loudspeakers? Probably not. At the very least, rednecks knew what to steal from.
Before we get too far away from the serious part of the show and we dive a little bit deeper into the humor that our listeners will come to know and love and our lively creativity, can you put a quick fart sound up here so that I know that we're moving in the direction I like?
Yeah, here you go.
Hi, Future Asher here, editing this podcast. I made a promise to Jackson during this recording that I cannot keep. While I'm not above a good fart joke, I am above putting fart sound effect into my YouTube search bar and then putting that YouTube video into an MP3 converter / downloader and downloading a virus along with a 3-second fart sound effect just doesn't sound like how I want to spend my Monday evening. So instead, you're getting this diatribe and also this.
Thank you so much. Okay, so now are we ready to move into the Where Will It Go?
We've learned that this song is very moldable. You only need some kind of mention of a fiddle and the name. Beyond that, it's kind of just whatever you want it to be.
And that's kind of the way we're presenting this show.
Listeners of the last podcast got used to us having a semi-consistent schedule of putting out a new episode every week. We're definitely aiming to do that here as well.
If you listen to our other show, Strictly Confidential, you know that we loved diving into those. But one of the main reasons we would continue doing this show is to make it where we could expand a little bit. We could explore anything. Our next one, we talk about daylight savings time. And spoiler alert, we talk about how kind of ridiculous some of it is, but how we kind of wish it would take over. We'll talk about where it came from, the history of it, and then where it's going to go. And then the next one we talk about is okay. Taking the word okay. And so it could literally be anything. I'm looking around the office I'm in and I'm looking at I have a couple license plates that were on my Bronco. We could do an episode where we talk about how states determined that they would design license plates. And while that may sound boring to you, you're still listening.
I mean, the limits of the show is pretty much nouns. There's a pretty common sentiment among writers that anything can be interesting if approached from the right angle. And at its best, we hope to inspire wonder in our listeners and encourage people to take a closer look at what surrounds them. Because I'm from West Texas. The scenery is a little monotonous. But then I went to Prairie Dog Town and learned about prairie dogs. And now the environment that I live in is way more interesting because I'm like, oh, there could be a burrowing owl anywhere around me. These little tiny adorable owls that live in abandoned prairie dog holes, and they're the only birds that live underground. And it's like really unique to this part of the United States. And I would never know that if I didn't actually take the time and invest a little bit of interest into what is around me. So we're kind of hoping to do that in podcast form with mundane objects and topics and getting to the little interesting nugget that's hidden inside, and then kind of extrapolating on that and figuring out, what do we do with this new information now that we have it?
The other episodes are not going to be as serious as this one was, typically. Certainly, we may find out that computer mice have an insanely racist history, and so we'll dive deep into that and respect that. If what we're talking about has a dark past, we are going to acknowledge it and talk about it. But for the most part, what we found is most of this stuff is just good old-fashioned fun.
Just good old-fashioned fun is probably what it fits into that hilariously antiquated sort of slogan that, like, you know, Coca-Cola's been around for a while because they trademarked the word enjoy, or like Barks Root Beer. It's good. It's like, man, they got the copyright on that. When do they start making Barks?
It's like going to the Instagram account for the word for the name Jeff, and the username is Jeff.
And it's just like he has four followers and you're still like, damn, Jeff, that's a get at Jeff. You must have been day one Instagram, huh?
Yeah, that's all I got, though. I feel like we've talked about what we're going to do pretty well with this show. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Cotton Eye Joe. If you want to follow us on our social media, we're still working on figuring that out, but we will add it to the show notes so you know exactly what it is as soon as we have it. And if you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to us on our Instagram. We'll have open DMs, or I don't even know if you can close DMs on Instagram, but whether or not you can or cannot open or close them, we will have them open no matter what.
Dylan Sprouse knows for a fact that you cannot close the DMs in Instagram, but he won't respond to any of mine.
Even on his second account, Camera Duels?
Listen, I'm not going to stoop to Cole Sprouse. It's Dylan Sprouse or nothing.
Okay. It looks like we've got differing opinions on this.
If you want to find out where Jersey Knit Sheets came from, but you're just too busy for a damned Google, let us Google for you. We'd be happy to take any topic ideas, anything that seems mundane, but you know is fascinating. Are you particularly passionate about sand? Well, we can dive into sand and let the world know what's fascinating about sand. Do you want to know more about dumbwaiters? We'll say no. Dumbwaiters are too interesting on their own. Pick something more boring.
Are you fascinated by floorboards and the history? No, that one's too interesting too.
Who invented floors? Let's find out.
Be as abstract or as minute as you want. You can talk about pushpins or the idea of fingers. We'll go as deep as you want. That sounded
again,
aggressive. We're really thankful for your input.
We are narrowing it way down. We're sticking only to nouns here. Any abstract concepts? You want to know about the history and origin of being mad? That's for a different show.
I think that's all we do here, right?
I think that's all we do.
What?
No, I was just repeating because we used to that used to be our outro for Strictly Confidential, so it threw me a little bit.
Are you upset with that being the main thing that perpetuates between the two formats? Is me saying I think that's all we do here?
I love that outro though.
I think that's all we do here.
Just the idea of you sit looking around in an empty room and being like, I think this is all we can do.
I'm imagining somebody at a warehouse that invented, like, stamps. And all they make is stamps. And it's a giant warehouse, but it's one guy at a little machine. And somebody walks in and says, sir, could you possibly make me some Hi, My Name Is stickers? And the man looks up from his stamp machine, looks back down at the stamp he's holding, and then looks back up to the man and says, I'm sorry, but I think this is all we do here. I've been Jackson.
And I've been Asher.
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Thanks for listening to the show. Woo!
up and started to the left.